صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last night we spoke about the story of Talut, King Saul, this divinely appointed king who was appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his appointment was announced by a prophet of God, Prophet Samuel. And as I mentioned, there was some opposition relating to his appointment because of his lack of wealth compared to his peers, and because he did not come from a prestigious clan among the Israelites, there was opposition to his appointment. But the Quran tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided a miracle to give credibility and legitimacy to his authority. And that is that the Ark of the Covenant, the Tabut, miraculously returned. And it came into the possession of Talut. And we spoke about the meaning of the Tabut and its significance. The Quran tells us that Talut tested his army. The biblical sources tell us that his army was made up of 3,000. And he knew that the majority of them were probably hesitant to fight. And therefore you find that the Quran tells us that Talut announces to his troops that Allah is going to test you with a river. Whoever does not drink from this river is from me, meaning that he will remain in my army. And whoever drinks from the river, they are dismissed. They are not to continue, except for those who drink a scoop from the river. The Quran tells us that the majority of them, they failed this initial test. So there was a process of filtering out the weak-hearted, those soldiers who did not have any discipline. The majority of them failed. And therefore there remained two ranks within the army of Talut. Those who did not drink at all, despite their thirst and fatigue, and they represented the fully committed soldiers, those who were the most God-fearing. Because it was essentially haram for them to drink. And then you had those who drank a scoop. They were committed, but they were not as committed as the first group. And Talut probably kept them because he did not want his army to appear too small in the face of the forces of Goliath. Now as they continued their march, when they saw the massive army of Goliath, the group that drank a scoop of water, they saw the army and they said that we don't have the strength to face this army. Eventually, their weakness was exposed. The group that took a scoop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayah 250 of Surah Al-Baqarah, He mentions a dua that the fully committed soldiers made. وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ So when they marched out and they encountered Goliath and his forces, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا They said, those who were fully committed, they said, O our Lord, pour upon us patience. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا And make our feet steadfast and steady. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ And give us and assist us against the faithless. We have a narration from Imam al-Baqir, salawatullahi alayhi. Where Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, in one narration he says, قَالَ الَّذِينَ شَرِبُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمِ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِ Those who drank a scoop, they were the ones who said, we cannot face the army of Goliath.
وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَشْرَبُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا
Imam al-Baqir, he said, those who did not drink at all, when they came and they arrived and they saw the army of Goliath, because of their firm iman, they know that victory is not determined by numbers. And therefore, they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's interesting is that when you look at the narrations, you find that the army of Talut began with 3,000. The majority of them, they failed and they were sent back. The ones who did not drink from the river were 313, which is equal to the number in Badr, and it will be part of, it is the number of the fully committed Ashab of Imam Sahib al-Asri wa Zaman. Now what do we learn from this ayah? The first lesson that we learn from this ayah is that dua and action always go hand in hand. You see, the forces of Talut, they made all of the necessary military preparations. And after they joined the army, after they passed the test, after they did everything that was within their power, they realized that even that is not enough. It's not enough to just rely on our own efforts. They turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important lesson. That in our lives, we have two responsibilities. We have to do everything within our capacity. We are called to action. Talut and his army did not stay back and say, Oh Allah, help us against the army of Goliath. No, no, no. Action was required. They had to assemble an army. They had to prepare the horses and the weaponry. They had to travel. So, these are not people of inaction who are just relying on dua to solve all of their problems. They did everything that was required of them in terms of action and preparation. But at the same time, they were not deluded into thinking that we can do this on our own. We have a divinely appointed king. We have the dua of Talut. We have the dua of Prophet Samuel. That's enough. No, 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 no. They recognize that in addition to our full effort, we always need Allah's help. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا Look at their dua. They don't just ask Allah, Oh Allah, give us patience. أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا Pour down upon us patience. You know, if I tell you, pour the water out of the cup, that means everything that is in the cup, you want it to leave the vessel. So they are basically saying, Oh Allah, give us the maximum patience that you can give to a human being. Do not hold back. Give us as much as we have the capacity to receive in terms of patience. Patience is important. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. And notice when they make dua, they say رَبَّنَا. They invoke Allah's quality of rububiyya. And this is also important. You know, going to war is not a pleasant activity. It entails a lot of difficulty and hardship. When they say رَبَّنَا, they are invoking that quality of Allah, which is what? Which is how He nurtures and sustains His servants. There is this recognition that, oh Allah, You are the one who called us to fight. And You called us to fight because this action, as difficult as it may be, is necessary for our spiritual growth. Because You are our Rabb and You are concerned with our tarbiyah. Rabbana, they understand that this difficult task is a part of their spiritual growth. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. And make our feet firm. Do not allow us to be shaky in the battlefield. Allow us to be, help us be resilient. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And assist us, help us against the faithless. This shows us that sabr and nasr go hand in hand. If you want success, if you want victory, you need patience. Because nothing comes easy. The story, we saw in the story, it was not enough to just join the army of Talut. No, no, you had to travel along on a long journey. You had to experience thirst and fatigue. You had to go against your inclination, which is to drink. The lesson is nothing comes easy. It requires patience. It takes time. And this is particularly important when we speak about community building, when we speak about the dhuhr of the 12th Imam. The Imam is not going to establish a global government overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to require sacrifice. We're going to have to go through hardships. We need patience. We need patience and we need dua. And we need action. We need all of those things if we want to attain victory. Now we come to ayah 251 of Surah Al-Baqarah. فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. This small army, which is really 313 committed soldiers, they were able to defeat the massive army of Goliath. فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They defeated, they dispersed the army of Goliath with the permission of Allah. How did Allah give them victory? Through one man. وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتُ. You know, brothers and sisters, it seemed to many of these soldiers that we are marching towards our certain death. Then the enemy that we are facing off against is massive. We are heavily outnumbered. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He granted them success because of one person in their ranks. And what's interesting is that the duel that I'm going to speak about in a few moments, there was one individual who performed a heroic act whereby the army didn't even need to engage in a full-fledged war. Allah rescued them from all of that bloodshed through the efforts of Dawood. Dawood alayhi salam, David. Now what's interesting is that Dawood alayhi salam, on the day that he killed Goliath, He was 14 or 15 years old. He was actually not even part of the army. He was too young to join the army of Talut. In fact, we have a verse, a couple of verses in the Old Testament. You know, when you read the stories of the prophets, it's very helpful to do a comparative study between what the Quran says and what the Bible says. Now, in many cases, the biblical accounts are not accurate. But sometimes, especially when we have situations where we have a gap in our narrations, we can look at these reports to gain an idea of what happened, especially if we're looking at information where there is no motive for a fabrication. So in the book of Samuel, which is in the Old Testament, one of the books of the Old Testament, chapter 17, verses 14 and 15. It says David was the youngest. He was the youngest person in his family. The three oldest followed Saul. Dawood alayhi salam, he had older brothers. His older brothers were part of the army. But he was not. He was too young. And it says, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend to his father's sheep at Bethlehem. The Old Testament says that he was too young to join the army. And he would go back and forth. He would look after the flock of his father. And then he would go to the battle to drop off food to his older brothers. The army of Talut, the army of Saul and Goliath, they were at a standoff for a number of days. Because everyone in the army of Talut was terrified of Goliath. Goliath, Jalut, he would stand and he would shout out to them, which one of you wants to come and fight me? And Goliath was a giant. He was a decorated commander. Everyone knew that if you fight Goliath, you're going to die. So none of them had the courage to rise to the occasion and fight Goliath. Except for Dawood. Dawood wasn't even part of the army. When he came one day to drop off food for his brothers, he saw Goliath boasting about his strength. And Dawood felt that this is humiliating for mu'mineen. That no mu'min is standing up. So he volunteered to fight Goliath. As a 14 or 15 year old boy. Now the Quran doesn't go into details about how he killed Goliath, because that's not important. What is important is that this young man was willing to die to fight for the religion of God. He was not intimidated by Goliath. So David kills Goliath, the Quran tells us. And then what does Allah say? As a reward for his courage, Allah says, وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He granted, He gifted Dawood kingship and wisdom. You see, what's interesting is that Prophet Samuel was a prophet, but he wasn't a king. Talut was a king, but he was not a prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives both to Dawood alayhi salam. So here in this battle, what you see is Dawood alayhi salam essentially rises and it becomes known that he is the successor of Talut alayhi salam. And Allah says what?
وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَاءُ.
And Allah taught Dawood whatever he wished. Meaning, my dear brothers and sisters, there is some knowledge that we gain through conventional means. And you cannot circumvent and bypass the conventional means of acquiring knowledge. You have to learn, you have to read, you have to attend classes, you have to take knowledge from qualified people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes what He does is when He sees someone so sincere and so committed, and they have done everything that they can to acquire knowledge through conventional means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives them knowledge through unconventional means.
Dawood alayhi salam, because of this great act of courage, because he fought purely for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the gift of special knowledge.
You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes there are certain good deeds that we do, that because of that good deed, Allah gives you tawfiq to gain special knowledge. He gives you opportunities to increase your knowledge. And this is one of the important lessons, that our actions have an impact on what we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our sins restrict our ability to receive from Allah's rahmah. And acts of obedience, they increase our capacity to receive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace and His mercy. Now, when you look at the Jewish sources, when you look at the Old Testament, unfortunately, the depictions of Saul are appalling. They're absolutely disgraceful. So for example, the Old Testament basically says that the reason why David fought Goliath is because Saul, Talut, was afraid. And the Old Testament actually says that Talut became jealous of Dawood because he became the hero. In fact, if you look at the book of Samuel, chapter 19, verses 1 to 3, it says, and I'm quoting the Old Testament now, Saul told his son Jonathan. The Bible says that Talut had a son named Jonathan. Whether this is accurate is not the point. Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. Imagine. The Quran describes this man as a divinely appointed king who has strength and ilm, who is endorsed by Prophet Samuel, someone, a man of spirituality. The Old Testament describes him as someone who is cowardly, too afraid to fight Goliath, and someone who became jealous of Dawood and wanted to kill Dawood. But, and then the verse says, but Jonathan had taken a great liking to David and warned him, my father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Now, why am I mentioning this? The reason why I mention this is throughout history, the sinful people, especially sinful people, corrupt people who exploit religion, one of their main agendas is to malign the character of prophets and their successors. To denigrate them. Why? Because if I can convince people that Talut and Dawood and Sulaiman, they also committed heinous acts, when I usurp power and I act corruptly, no one can oppose me, because why are you opposing me? Look at what Dawood did. Look at what Talut did. Look at what Nuh did. Look at what Ibrahim did. Look at what Lut did. The only religion that preserves the sanctity and the integrity of prophets is Islam. And specifically, the school of Ahlul Bayt, salawatullahi alayhim ajma'een. Now, of course, when we read the story of David and Goliath, you cannot help but draw a parallel between that story and one of the battles of Islam, the Battle of Khandaq. The Battle of Khandaq was very similar to the battle between the army of Saul and the army of Goliath. David killed Goliath and Ali killed Amr ibn Abd Wad al-Amiri. It was a very similar situation. In the Battle of the Trench, you have Amr ibn Abd Wad, he comes forward just like Goliath, boasting, trying to intimidate the Muslims. And none of the companions of the Prophet, even the pious ones, none of them had it in them to fight against Amr. Similarly, if you look at the army of Saul, we're talking about the 313. Even them, there was hesitation to fight against Goliath. And this is also an important lesson. In the same way, you cannot say Dawood is just like the rest of Talut's army. You can't compare Dawood to even the most pious member in Saul's army. Similarly, you cannot compare Ali to any of the companions of the Prophet. You can't compare them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi repeated three times, who wishes to face Amr? And I guarantee Jannah for him. None of them except Amir al-Mu'mineen stood. And in fact, Ali ibn Abi Talib was so eager to fight in the way of Allah, even though there were horses present. If he waited, he could have gotten a horse. He runs on foot to face against Amr. And this is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi describing the face-off between Ali and Amr, he says, "Baraza al-iman kulluhu ila al-kufr kulli." The Prophet, he says, faith. This is not just a battle between Ali and Amr. Faith in its entirety is facing off against disbelief in its entirety. The reason why the striking of Ali equals or is better than the worship of all human beings and all jinn is why? Because if the Muslims lost that battle, they would have been completely obliterated. This was the Battle of Ahzab. You have 10,000 who have barricaded Medina. If Amr was not killed by Ali, the Muslims would have been annihilated and there would have been no one left on earth who would have uttered La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Similarly, what makes the killing of Goliath significant is because if Dawood did not kill Goliath, the Philistines would have completely obliterated the only group of people who are the only group that are carrying the message of Tawheed. And hence, my dear brothers and sisters, when we look at this ayah, when we look at these verses, we learn a very important lesson. And that is that Islam is not a religion of pacifism. Islam is not a pacifist tradition. You know, there are some who think that we should always forgive our enemies. Yes, on a personal level, you can forgive. But if our community, if Islam is under threat, that's when mu'mineen have a responsibility to defend their land, to defend their lives, to defend their faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He continues with the ayah. He says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ If it were not for the fact that Allah repels the people by means of other people, the earth would have been surely corrupted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He uses mu'mineen to repel the spread of evil in the world. Yes, the majority of the world might be taken by evil and corruption, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always use mu'mineen to prevent a complete takeover, to ensure that there are places in this world that remain as beacons of guidance. And my dear brothers and sisters, I want to share one final comment as we conclude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you go to ayah 252, He says, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ. These are the signs of God, which we recite to you in truth. One of the accusations that are leveled against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa'ala is that he copied the Quran from the Bible. They say Muhammad just copied and pasted. But what you find, my dear brothers and sisters, is that when you look at the Quran, there are many instances where the Quran actually diverges from the biblical narrative. The Qur'an doesn't denigrate Talut. It doesn't denigrate Dawood or Sulaiman. If the Prophet merely copied and pasted, he should have also copied and pasted the crimes that were attributed to these personalities. But he didn't. So Allah says, these are the signs of God that He recites to you with truth. This is the real story of King Saul. Not a person who was cowardly. And by the way, those who say that, okay, why didn't Saul fight against Goliath? It's because he's the commander of the army. It's like asking, why didn't Rasulullah fight against, you know, the heads of Quraysh in Badr? Because he has a different role to play. Ali is sent. In the same way, Talut, he is managing the army. So it's those who say that he was too cowardice to fight against Goliath, they don't understand how war is and how battles are conducted. So Allah says, these are the signs of God that we recite to you in truth, وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And you are surely among the prophets. Now what are these signs? Number one, my dear brothers and sisters, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows who to choose as our leaders. We have a criterion, and Allah has a criterion. What Allah values is not always what we value. That's an important lesson to take away from this. Number two, Allah, if He wishes, He can grant victory to a small group over a large group. If they have sincerity, if they have faith. And also what we find is, even though the majority of the Israelites did not have the courage to fight, they still benefited from the heroics of Dawood. And I'll end with this final narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَدْفَعُ بِمَنْ يُصَلِّي مِنْ شِيَعَتِنَا عَمَّنْ لَا يُصَلِّي مِنْ شِيَعَتِنَا. Imam al-Sadiq, he says, Allah, He repels punishment from our Shias who are lax with their prayers through those Shias who are committed with their prayers. And then the Imam says, وَلَوْ أَجْمَعُ عَلَىٰ تَرْكِ الصَّلَاةِ لَهَلَكُوا. If all of the followers of Ahlul Bayt abandon salah, the punishment would surely come down. And that means what for us on an individual level?
This should inspire humility in us. It could be that we are deserving of Allah's punishment for what we did in our lives. But because of the presence of an elderly man who is pious, Allah has mercy on the entire community. Maybe we are deserving of punishment, but maybe because of the presence of an innocent child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repels many punishments that we would have been deserving of. Inshallah, tomorrow night, we'll speak a little bit about the qualities and the characteristics of Dawood alayhi salam. Wa akhir da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahireen.